Good morning, everyone. This is Brother Jerry Morley. I'm an elder of the Church of Jesus Christ in Fort Worth, Texas. We want to greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. We're here to perform a wonderful service, we hope, for you today. We're going to do a little different than what we're used to. So we ask for your prayers, for your support, and that you would open your heart, that God would enter in and fill you, even though we may not be together, that we might be joined by the power of his Spirit. Let's pray this morning that God would bless us. Heavenly Father, we come before you thankful for this opportunity that we have to do our very best, Father, to serve you. Indeed, Father, these are trying times, and we're thankful for this technology that you have provided that we might be able to reach our brothers and sisters and friends, and that, Father, in this small way, we might be able to stay connected through thy word and through the power of this technology. And so we pray, Father, that you would bless it and bless us today, Father, as we would deliver this message, that it would be a message of hope and encouragement, Father, in a time of need. I pray, Father, you'd reach out to all of our brothers and sisters in Fort Worth, that each would be touched and blessed. And Father, wherever this message may eventually wind up, that each person that would receive it in the spirit and the love that is intended. We love you, Father. We thank you for all things. We ask for your continued guidance and blessings through Jesus' holy name. Amen. So as I mentioned, we're going to be having a sermon this morning. Brother Joe is going to be addressing us first in English, and then immediately following, about 20 minutes later, Brother Joe's only going to speak for about 20 minutes, we're going to have Brother Juan speak to us in Spanish. So I would pray that everyone would stay together. I'm going to have Brother Juan translate this for me so that they all know that this is all going to be happening as well.
Como está diciendo el hermano Joe va a predicar hoy esta mañana por unos 20 minutos. Después que él cumplita con eso, yo lo poner en español para nuestros miembros que tienen que recibir el mensaje en español. Y bien bendecidos todos aquí y vamos a preparar tener un buen día este día. Gracias.
And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Brother Joe. May God bless each and every one of you.
Brothers and sisters and friends, it's so great to be here. It truly is. I feel so blessed that we have a chance to talk about the good things of the Lord and his many blessings. And I know it's been a difficult time, but our Lord, he has a plan for us. And I will mention again, as I've been telling you since January, the Lord has asked me to share with you that we should feed our faith and starve our fear. Those two things are inversely proportional. When one goes up, the other one goes down. So if you're feeling afraid or worried, feed your faith. Pray, read, call a brother and sister. And I'm telling you, that fear will disappear. It will dissipate. So this afternoon, we're going to talk about some wonderful promises of God. And I think I definitely believe this is a message of hope today, if you listen to it. If you listen to it. And my theme today is, where do you turn in times like this? Who do you look to at times like this? To whom do you look? We're in a bit of a crisis. Where are you turning to? Where's your focus at this time? And as we talk about this today, I'm going to go through a number of different scriptures. But the question is, who are you turning to right now? And even a bigger question I have for you today is, where do you turn to in general? For all of your life's concerns, all of your life's issues, where is your source of hope and trust? So where are you looking today? And I'm going to begin in the book of Exodus, the 16th chapter of Exodus. I'm not going to read very much here, but we're going to go all over the place, as you're going to see. All right? A lot of powerful, beautiful scripture. This is such an important topic. And one way you can tell that is the Lord placed it in many different places in the Bible, in the Book of Mormon. In the 16th chapter, I'll quickly summarize the situation. What's going on at this moment is Israel has been freed from the Egyptians. God has set his chosen people free through the power that he exhibited with plagues and miracles. And in fact, some of those were so great, including parting the Red Sea. Parting the Red Sea in order to destroy the Egyptian army. And so now the people of God were free. They were utterly free. But guess what? Instead of celebrating, they began to complain at a time where they became worried and concerned. It says in the 16th chapter, the third verse, it says, "The children of Israel said unto them, Would God have us die by thy hand?" Speaking to Moses. "Have you brought us forth into the wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger?" So they begin to complain that they don't have enough to eat. After all the great things God has just done for them. But our God is so merciful and so loving that he immediately reveals his plan. God always has a plan. And it says in the fourth verse, the Lord spoke unto then said the Lord unto Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you." I will literally have food come down from heaven. I will provide for you every for all your needs. I know you're hungry. I know you need food. I had a plan. Wait on the Lord. And from that day forward, there was manna provided throughout the week and double portion the day before the Sabbath. And in the evening, quails came. So bread from heaven, manna from heaven came. All people had to do every day. Didn't have to go work. Didn't have to go out and find the food. It was there. They just had to pick it up. Can you imagine? Wouldn't the life be wonderful like that? It's there every day, I guess, with DoorDash or some of these other services. But guess what? These were free. This was free. You just had to grab it, pick it up. So you would think, now they're happy. A little further into the story. I'm now jumping to Numbers, the 21st chapter. And it says in Numbers, the 21st chapter, the fourth verse. It says at the end of the fourth verse, in Numbers 21:4, in case you would like to follow along, the people were much discouraged because of the way. So now the people were discouraged again. And the fifth verse is even more dramatic. And unfortunately, very, very wrong. It says in the fifth verse, "And the people spake against God and against Moses. And they said, Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?" The same line we'd heard earlier. "Have you brought us here to die? For there's no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread." They actually said they were angry at God and they were criticizing the manna from heaven. They were saying, "We hate what God has given us." And brothers and sisters, let me just inject this right in here. Even if you are not happy with everything that's going on right now, don't be discouraged. God has a plan. And even more importantly, please, I beg of you, don't be angry with God. Don't lose your faith. Don't lose your trust in him. Don't criticize our God. It's always wrong to do that. But continue to trust with him, in him, that he has a plan for us. And after this, after the people spoke out against God, criticized God, after all he had done for them, and again, think how much he's done for us in our lives. It says in the sixth verse, "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died." Therefore, after these snakes, these fiery serpents were set among the people, they recognized that they had done wrong. And they cried out that we have sinned. And they asked Moses, pray, help us, pray to God. Help us, help, pray for the people. And again, once again, our merciful, forgiving God, even though all the complaints, all the murmuring, all the negativity, after all he had done for them, the Lord reaches out again to try to save them. And it says in the 8th verse, "And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent." And by that he meant, make a bronze serpent, a serpent made of metal. And set it upon a pole, put it up on a pole, that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. So God again provided a way. He had a plan. He said, Moses, create this, build this metal serpent. And all the people have to do is look at it. If they just look at it, they'll be saved. Simple answer to save them. He made it so easy to save them. The 9th verse said, then Moses did what God asked. He made a serpent of brass. He put it up on a pole. And it came to pass that if a person had been bitten, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. God never lies. He provides a way. He tells us what to do. And if we do it, we'll be blessed. He said, do this. Just look at that serpent and you'll be saved. And the people who were bit and looked, he saved them. They were forgiven of their mistakes. They just had to do one thing. Show that they now trusted God. Show that they now believed in his word and looked to that serpent. And they were saved. Now the Book of Mormon adds two very interesting things to that story. And I'm now going to jump to 1 Nephi, the 17th chapter. If you could please follow along. I hope you're following along. 1 Nephi 17, the 41st verse. And in the 41st verse, two interesting things are added. One is interesting and one is unbelievably important. It says in 1 Nephi 17, 41, and he did straighten them in the wilderness with his rod. And this is Nephi, he's talking about Moses. For they hardened their hearts even as ye have. Nephi is talking to his brothers, and he's comparing his brothers who are in a difficult situation with the situation that the house of Israel had been in long before. And he's saying, you're acting just like them. You're acting just like them. You've hardened your hearts instead of trusting in God after all he's been doing for us, how he's protected us, how he's saved us from the destruction that's going to occur in Jerusalem. You've hardened your hearts. And again, brothers and sisters, don't be like these people. Trust in God today in a difficult situation. And it says, and the Lord straightened them because of their iniquity. He sent fiery flying serpents. So the first difference is, not only are they fiery, they're now flying. Okay? How awful is that? Flying fiery serpents. Okay? So one more detail about how nasty these creatures were among them. And they were bitten. He prepared a way. God had a plan that they might be healed. And the labor which they had to perform was to look. All you do is look. And because of the simpleness of the way, or the easiness of it, there were many who perished. So what we learn here is, even though God made it so easy, he had a plan. He said, just follow my easy, simple plan, and you'll be saved. There are people in these kind of situations who won't even do the most basic thing. Who won't look. People died because they refused to trust in God and simply look at this fire, this serpent on a metal serpent on a pole. It's mind-boggling that people wouldn't have done this to be saved. But it shows you how men and women can be stubborn, or how men and women can think they know better, and how they think they might have their own solutions to things. And so what I want to talk about a little bit before, we'll have a little bit more scripture at the end, but brothers and sisters, you know, this sermon isn't just about telling you what happened thousands of years ago in the desert, or what happened with Nephi and his brothers. It's about us today. We're in a difficult circumstance. What are you doing with that? Are you complaining? Are you murmuring? Are you angry with God? I beg of you, I plead with you, that's not the way to be. That's not the way to act in this situation. And where are you looking? To whom are you placing your trust in this situation? Is your trust based on your hope of getting out of this based on the government or the news or something like that? Or are you first and foremost turning to the Lord because He is greater than any other source and He has a greater plan than anybody? I know in life so often we don't want to think about these big issues, but I'm telling you, as the Word of God tells us, they can save your very soul here. Don't be discouraged. Don't be angry with God, but look to Him. And right now, depending on where you're looking, what you're focused on, could make all the difference. You know, sometimes in life, part of this question is like, how do you live your life? Who are you trusting in today? Are you living your life in a random way? You're just winging it right now? And I'm telling you, if you're just winging it, you're often going to make mistakes. You're going to stumble. The Lord has the perfect straight and narrow path. And, you know, I was thinking about how, you know, back to randomness. And ignoring a plan and doing things randomly. I'll tell you a quick personal story. My family, as a lot of you know, we inherited a home, an apartment in Italy, in Rome. And it's a disaster. It's 100 years old. It's a mess. It's just in bad shape. And so my sisters and I have been remodeling it, but from a distance, most of it from here to Italy. And we bought some tile, kitchen tile, to put up. And this tile, there were like four squares. You put them together, and a nice picture, perfect little picture. Here's one, two, three, four. And you put the four together. You follow the plan, perfect picture. We sent a photograph of the tile to the workers. They then sent us a picture back of what they had done. They were totally random. They were just in every position possible. I mean, the plan was so simple. One, two, three, four. Beautiful picture. Instead, did nothing. There's not one single part of the kitchen with that pattern. It's the ugliest kitchen in Rome, okay? It's just awful, all right? Simple, simple pattern. They disobeyed. They didn't listen. We have a mess on our hands, okay? Let me mention one more, real world sort of situation that a lot of us can relate to. Most of us have a GPS. And when you have a GPS, which is a wonderful thing, but, you know, you tell me, have you ever heard your GPS say, recalculate, recalculate, recalculate? You know what that means? You didn't listen to it, okay? It means that you did not listen to it or you ignored it, okay? And oftentimes when we ignore it, we make a mistake, we mess up. And so brothers and sisters, as I think about those things, I think, does God look, how often have I ignored the instructions of God? I could see God looking down and saying, Brother Joe, recalculate, recalculate. You're not listening to me, you're ignoring me. God's way is perfect, but we have to heed His word, heed what He's telling us, look to Him, trust in Him. And as I said, if you think this is just about 2,000 years ago or more, more than 2,000 years ago, let me tell you what Jesus Christ said about this. I would now like to jump to John, the third chapter. So this is now in the New Testament, and these are the words of Jesus Christ. John, the third chapter, the 14th and 15th verses. And like I said, if you think this was just a decision that the Israelites made, I'm telling you, today you have to make a decision. Whether you realize it or not, today you have to make a decision. Are you going to look to God today? Are you going to look to God for your life's decisions? In how you live your life, or are you not? And let me tell you, as you will see here, it's not just about this crisis or this current situation. We're talking about the rest of this life, and more importantly, the one to come. It says in John 3:14 and 15. Again, the words of Jesus. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Even so must Jesus be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus Christ compares himself and what he's going to do to what happened with the Israelites in the desert with Moses. He says, now, today, in your world, I'm going to be lifted up. Are you going to look to me? Are you going to trust in me? If you do, you will not perish. You will have eternal life. We are asked that same question, and we have the same easy choice. Look to him or look away. Think that we have better answers. Think that we have a better plan. Instead of the plan that Jesus Christ set up and his gospel, his restored gospel today in the Church of Jesus Christ. Are you going to come to church? Are you going to believe in God? Are you going to serve God? And in the book of Helaman, similar, in a very similar way, with a little more detail, it says this in Helaman, the 8th chapter. In the 8th chapter, the 14th and 15th verses, it says, yea, did he, Moses, not bear record that the Son of God should come? And as he lifted up that brazen serpent, that metal serpent in the wilderness, even so, he being lifted up, who should come, who Jesus, who should come. That's a comparison, the type and shadow, that Jesus would be the equivalent in the natural life, but much more in the eternal life. And as many as should look upon that serpent should live. Even so, as many as should look upon the Son of God with faith, having a contrite spirit, might live unto life which is eternal. Brothers and sisters, God wants you, every time you have a problem, to look to him. God wants you, when you don't have a problem, to look to him. He wants you to not be worried, to not have fear, but to have faith. He wants you to trust in him that he has a way out of this situation, as he will have the way out of everything you face in life. You will have trials and tribulations in life. That's part of life. But don't let anything separate you from the love of God, from the love of Christ. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the promises of God. He will save you. And most importantly, he will save your soul. And that the next life you will spend with him. May God bless you all.
Buenos días. El mensaje que nos trae el hermano Joe es uno de mensaje muy importante y algo que es muy bendecido para nosotros. La pregunta como que él comenzó es en este tiempo lo que está pasando ahorita en el mundo. La pregunta era ¿a quién buscas en esta crisis que está pasando ahorita? ¿En qué estás poniendo las cosas importantes en tu vida? Esa es la pregunta. Y ahorita en con lo que está pasando aquí, tenemos que pensar de eso. En qué ponemos nosotros nuestra confianza? El hermano comenzó con un versículo en la Biblia, que es en Éxodos, que es el primer parte de la Biblia. Leyó ahí una historia. Y muchos pueden pensar, pues este es el tiempo de Moisés, ¿por qué estamos leyendo esto? Y no lo vamos a leer todo, pero va a ser en Éxodos, capítulo 16. Van a ser versículos 3 a 15. No vamos a leerlo todo, pero vamos a platicar un poco de esto. Este era el tiempo cuando la gente de Israel, que Moisés los ayudó con el poder de Dios a salir de Egipto. Y salieron ahí en este punto tan en el desierto. Y pasó un tiempo que están ahí. Y la gente, acuérdense, salieron de ahí. Y a un punto en el camino, la gente comenzaron a a leer un poco con Moisés. Y comenzando con el versículo 3. Dice ahí que, y les decían los hijos de Israel, ojalá hubiéramos muerto por mano de Jehová en la tierra de Egipto, cuando nos sentábamos a las ollas de carne, cuando comíamos pan hasta saciarnos, pues no habías sacado a este desierto para matar de hambre y toda la multitud. So aquí la gente está diciendo a Moisés, tú nos sacaste de Egipto y mira, ¿ahora qué? No tenemos con qué comer, no tenemos con qué tomar, no tenemos nada aquí. Y a ellos en este punto no entienden el poder de Dios. ¿Y qué es lo que pasa aquí? Sigue adelante ahorita en versículo 4 y dice, y Jehová Dios, y Jehová dijo a Moisés, he aquí, yo os haré llover pan del cielo, y el pueblo salar y recoger diariamente la provisión de un día, para que yo lo pruebo si andan en mi ley y no, si andan en mi ley o no. So aquí la gente está diciendo que no tienen con qué comer, no tienen con qué tomar, pero dice Dios, le avisa a Moisés, yo les voy a dar pan, va a llover pan, va a caer pan del cielo, para que van a mirar quién soy yo. Dice Dios, para que miren quién es lo que los va a cuidar. ¿Y qué es lo que pasa? Cae el pan. Y no nomás el pan. Pasó un tiempo más y les dice Moisés, no nomás va a caer pan en la madrugada, en la tarde va a caer carne también. ¿Y qué es lo que pasa aquí? Dios también les da a ellos, que dice en otro versículo, en el 13. Dice, y venía la tarde subiendo cornoneses que cubrieron el campamento, y por la mañana desció rocío y alrededor del campamento. ¿Y qué es lo que pasó aquí? En la mañana cayó el pan, en la tarde la carne, y él lo tenía, y cayó tanta carne que dijeron que cubrió todo el campamento. Ponte a pensar eso, que cubrió todo el campamento, tenían tanto que era necesario para ellos. ¿Pero qué es lo que pasa después de esto? Como que era la gente, de un lado comienzan a negar y a decir que no es suficiente. Vamos otra vez en la Biblia, otra vez al libro de Números, un poquito más adelante. Vamos a Números, capítulo 21. Números, capítulo 21. Y en esta parte, dicen que en la última parte del versículo 4, dice, se designó el pueblo por el camino. Ahora están un poco tristes, están como que están enojados. ¿Y qué es lo que pasa? Y habló el pueblo contra Dios y contra Moisés. Pon atención a lo que dice aquí. Y habló el pueblo contra Dios y contra Moisés, porque nos hiciste subir de Egipto para que muramos en este desierto, pues no hay pan ni agua, y nuestra alma tiene fastidio de este pan liviano. So ahora otra vez están diciendo que, y hasta que nos das, no es suficiente. Están diciendo, no es suficiente aquí, era mejor que los quedamos en Egipto, porque tenemos mucha hambre, no es suficiente. ¿Qué es lo que pasa? Jehová envió entre el pueblo serpientes ardientes que movían al pueblo, y murió mucho pueblo de Israel. So aquí Dios está diciendo, no te gusta lo que hice para usted, no te gusta lo que como te estoy cuidando. Dios, como de un lado, está diciendo, bueno, entonces te mando lo siguiente. Pero uno piensa, ¿cómo puede ser Dios así? Pero mira lo que pasa también en versículo 8. Porque cuando cayeron los serpientes y los estaban moviendo a la gente y estaban muriendo, la gente comienza a decir a Moisés, ponlos en oración, pídele a Dios que nos ayude en esto. So, ¿qué hace? Moisés le pide a Dios que les ayude, que le ayude al pueblo. Versículo 8. Y Jehová dijo a Moisés, hazte un serpiente ardiente y ponlo sobre una asta y cualquier que fuera modrido y mirá a ella vivirá. Ahora, mandó unos sirvientes que habían a mover la gente que estaban alejando, la gente que no está de acuerdo con las cosas de Dios, con lo que el mensaje que les trae Moisés. Y ahora cuando vienen los sirvientes y le están moviendo, ahora quieren que Dios les ayude. ¿Y qué pasa? Dios lo hace bien fácil para ellos que les puedan ayudar. Y le dice Moisés, haz un serpiente de bronce y ponlo en una barra, en una barra. Y cada quien que lo mira, todo lo que tiene que hacer es mirarlo y van a vivir, van a vivir. Es todo lo que tiene que hacer. Moisés hizo un serpiente de bronce y lo puso sobre la asta. Y cuando alguien, cuando a un serpiente movía a alguno, miraba a la serpiente de bronce y bebían. Todo lo que tenían que hacer es mirar. Dios le dio un modo muy simple, de qué es lo que ellos tenían que hacer para vivir. Y dice que hasta unos que no lo miraron porque no quisieron hacer eso. Cuando Dios nos manda un mensaje, lo tenemos que poner atención, tenemos que escuchar el mensaje que nos trae Dios. Para esta gente en ese tiempo, ellos hicieron algo mal contra Dios, de alegando contra él y contra Moisés. Y vienen estos serpientes que ahora los va a matar. Y Dios le da una forma muy simple de cómo salir de eso. Y de nomás mirar. Y porque muchos no miraron, muchos murieron. Adelante, el hermano, yo también los trajo otro mensaje que es en el libro de Mormón. Este va a ser en primer Nefi. Este es en primer Nefi, capítulo 17, versículo 41. Y dice lo siguiente. Y los encarrió en el desierto con su vara porque endurecieron sus corazones. Ahora, ¿por qué está diciendo Nefi esta historia a sus hermanos? En este punto de la historia, Nefi está ahí con sus hermanos están alegando con él, no están poniendo atención, no quieren hacer lo que, los que le está diciendo Dios, pero este es el mensaje que les trae de este versículo, que se endurezaron, y está platicando Nefi de la gente de Israel, diciendo en ese tiempo lo que le pasó a ellos. Endurezaron sus corazones, aún como vosotros los habéis hecho, por lo que el Señor los aflijó a causa de sus iniquidades, y les envió serpientes boleantes de fuego, y cuando los morían, les dio el remedio para que sanaran, y no tenían más que mirar, nomás tenían que mirar para sanar. Y por ser este medido tan sencillo y tan fácil, muchos de ellos perecieron. Hermanos y hermanas, hay veces que Dios nos manda un mensaje tan básico que nomás tenemos que poner atención, nomás tenemos que escuchar lo que Él nos dice. Para esta gente el mensaje era bien simple, nomás miran y ni miraron, no miraron en eso. So, hoy la pregunta es, ¿dónde pones tu confianza? Debes poner tu confianza en las cosas de Dios. Cuando Dios te mande un mensaje, pon atención a lo que te dice. Ahorita, ¿en qué estás esperando que te va a ayudar? ¿El gobierno? ¿El estado de Texas? ¿El presidente? ¿Quién? Nosotros tenemos que poner nuestra confianza en nuestro Dios. Él es el único que nos puede ayudar en nuestras necesidades. Él es el único que estará para nosotros en todo el tiempo que está pasando algo mal en nuestra vida. Tenemos que poner nuestro punto de vista en Dios. Y así debe ser. Y ojalá que eso es lo que estás haciendo. En el libro de Juan, en la Biblia, vamos al libro de Juan, capítulo 3. Comienza aquí en San Juan, capítulo 3, versículo 14. Y dice, como Moisés levantó la serpiente en el desierto, así es necesario que el Hijo del Hombre se levantó. Estamos platicando de Jesús aquí. Para que todo aquel que le cree no se pierda, mas tenga vida eterna. No nomás vida aquí, pero vida eterna del futuro. Y aquí está diciendo que Nosotros debemos poner atención al Hijo de Dios, que es Jesucristo. Tenemos que poner atención a Él. Como la gente en el tiempo de Moisés, cuando lo estaban moviendo los serpientes, miraron al serpiente de bronce que puso Moisés en la vara. Hoy en este día, para nosotros tenemos que mirar para arriba y poner atención a Jesús. A Él es donde debemos ir para nuestras necesidades, pero con Él nos va a ayudar en todo. En el libro de Mormón hay otro versículo que habla casi lo mismo, pero un poco diferente. Este va a ser el libro de Mormón, el libro de Helaman, capítulo 8, comenzando con el versículo 14. Si no testifico que venía el Hijo de Dios, porque así como Moisés levantó la serpiente de bronce en el desierto, así será levantado aquel que ha de venir. Así como vivían cuantos miraban a la serpiente, de la misma manera vivirán esa vida que es eterna. Todos los que fajiren la vista en el Hijo de Dios con fe y con el Espíritu contrito. Nosotros tenemos que mirar a nuestro Dios, a nuestro Jesucristo. Nosotros tenemos que poner atención a quién nos va a ayudar en este tiempo. Nosotros muchas veces hacemos lo que nosotros tenemos que hacer porque tenemos que tomar una decisión. Les aviso, no tomen la decisión sin ponerlo en oración con nuestro Dios. Busca a Él, pon su confianza en Él, pon su fe en Él, porque Él es el único, nuestro Dios es el único que nos puede ayudar en estos tiempos. Hay mucha gente en este mundo que van a tomar una decisión de error porque ellos van a hacer lo que ellos quieren, el modo como ellos lo quieren hacer. El aviso aquí es, el consejo aquí es, pon todo en las manos de Dios, en las manos de Dios. Él es el único que te puede ayudar, Él es el único que está ahí para nosotros, pero no nomás para vivir en este tiempo, pero el tiempo futuro. El tiempo de la vida eterna, es lo que es importante, la vida eterna, no nomás hoy. Nosotros vamos a pasar por unos problemas, por unas cosas aquí en este mundo, aquí como lo que está pasando ahorita. Ahorita lo que está pasando aquí en este mundo es casi como el peor que la gente mira. Muchas gentes dicen cuando cayó el día 11-9, dicen que en ese tiempo mucha gente se acercó a una iglesia, se acercó a Dios. Pero después que se puso todo más mejor, se fue para atrás a como estaba la vida antes. Ahora con esta enfermedad que tenemos, virus que están platicando, esto es algo que nosotros no entendemos. Los médicos están estudiando esto y están diciendo que hay chance que todo va a salir bien, pero no saben. Pero nosotros tenemos que poner nuestra confianza en Dios, que vamos a pasar bien en todo esto, que vamos a sanar, que no los vamos a enfermar. Pon tu confianza en Dios entre todo, y cualquier cosa que tienes de necesidad, llévaselo a Él. Y cuando Él te contesta, pon atención a lo que Él te dice. Y tienes que hacer lo que Él te dice, porque es importante que hacemos como Él nos dice. Que Dios los bendiga.
Well, thank you. I hope you enjoyed all of that. We're going to give a few announcements now for our Fort Worth branch. We want you to know that your elders and teachers have been meeting regularly to discuss the spiritual well-being of our branch.
Quiero que sepas que los ministros y maestros están juntándose y teniendo juntas a platicar qué es lo que podemos hacer por bueno de nuestra rama.
And one of those things that we've done is we've divided the congregation into groups, and we've asked every elder and teacher to be reaching out to our branch to communicate with you during the week.
Una de las cosas que hemos hecho tomamos todos los nombres de nuestra rama y los dividimos en unos grupos para que los ministros y los maestros puedan comunicar con los miembros. Y ustedes que tienen equipo hacen las llamadas para que podamos comunicar uno con el otro.
So it's no coincidence that you're getting called every week, and you should be called by a different brother each week. If that's not happening, I'd like you to call me personally because we may have a problem with your phone number.
Si debes no debes ser una sorpresa que te vas a recibir una llamada de alguien aquí en la rama,
de uno de los hermanos que están llamando y a ver cómo estás. Si no te debes recibir una llamada cada semana de alguien diferente cada semana. Si no estás recibiendo estas llamadas, por favor, háblale al hermano Jerry y avísale del número que tienes. Y si no puede hablar conmigo, yo le aviso del hermano si tenemos un problema con su número de celular.
We miss you very much, and this is our opportunity to talk with you and see how you're doing. So we encourage you, if there's an issue, if you have any needs whatsoever, natural or spiritual, let us know. That's our time to minister to you.
Les extraemos mucho, y le avisamos que si tienes unos problemas, algo espiritualmente, algo de necesidad, avísenos. Este es el tiempo para nosotros de poder levantarlos a ustedes, el espíritu y todo. Nomás les hace una llamada.
I hope you've enjoyed our presentation today. We're planning to try to do this again on Wednesday night, so keep an eye out for a text message with information about that.
Ojalá que le gustaron lo que hicimos hoy este día. Queremos hacer esto también el miércoles, pero de una clase. Pongan atención a los mensajes de text que vas a recibir que los avisan de esto.
And we're hoping next week to actually include maybe a Sunday school class with our Sunday service as well.
Y ojalá que el próximo domingo podamos tener un estudio en la mañana y después tener un servicio también.
And of course, if there's ever a need, if you need prayer, please reach out to any of your elders. We're happy to pray for you and try to support you as best we can.
Y si necesitas oración, por favor, llámale a uno de los ministros, que nosotros queremos ayudar, apoyarlos en eso. Si tienen necesidad de oración, para eso aquí estamos. Me pueden llamar a mí también.
And we will, of course, be passing on any information that we get from our region or from the general church to let you know how much longer we're going to be in this position of having to cancel our services.
Y también lo vamos a dar información cuando lo recibimos de nuestra iglesia general, que nos están avisando que tenemos que tener situación que tenemos ahorita, que no nos podemos juntar, le damos más información cuando nosotros lo vamos a recibir.
But during this time, we encourage you to take advantage of this time. As Brother Joe had mentioned earlier, we should be reading, we should be studying and praying, but also take the opportunity to reach out to your brothers and sisters just to stay in touch.
Y también debemos aprovechar de este tiempo que tenemos, que como dijo el hermano Joe, que tenemos que estudiar y leer, seguir hacer esto, pero también que se llamen a cada hermano y hermana, platican con ellos, a ver cómo ellos están, levantar a ellos también en espíritu.
We love you very much. This is part of God's plan, and we believe that through all of this, God's working out something for us, and so we're excited to find out what God's going to be doing. Continue to pray for your ministry and for the church in general.
Parte de todo esto es parte del plan de Dios, pero sabemos que Dios nos va a levantar en todo esto y nos va a ayudar, y todo va a estar bien. Gracias para todo y apoyarnos en todo esto.
You know, it just wouldn't be Sunday without a little bit of singing in Fort Worth. I want to sing one song, and I'd like to dedicate this to Brother Ken Jones, but to all of us who have a little concern, who may be nervous. As Brother Joe and Brother Juan have told us today, we don't need to be afraid, that we should let the peace of God rule in our hearts. And so if you know this, sing along. Listen to the words. Hopefully you'll find them encouraging. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, what Jesus said.
today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me, and the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered with his blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
God bless you.
Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the Spirit that we have felt this morning together. And Lord, as we conclude our meeting now, Lord, we are reflective of the fact that we look out and we see empty chairs in the building and we miss the saints. But Lord, I pray that despite the limitations that we face today, that this beautiful message that you have inspired in our brothers' hearts today, that you might send the message out, Lord, to your people, and that by your Spirit and power they might receive it and feel, Lord, that you're right by their side in this trial and in every trial that we face. Because, Lord, as we learned this morning, history repeats itself. And again, Lord, you keep your promises to your people. And we thank you, Lord, that we can rely upon you and hold to the word, as our brothers exhorted us today, that we might hold on to the promises that you have made, and that we might look to you. And Father, we pray that you would reassure us today and help us, O Lord, by strengthening us, that we might hold on, and that we might be lifted up, and that we might use this opportunity, O Lord, to be feasting upon your word. And by hearing your word, we might be lifted up in faith. And by being lifted up in faith, that we might be encouraged to press forward. Lord, strengthen your people and allow them, Lord, to march on and continue in the work and in the purposes that you have called us all to. And fulfill those purposes, I pray, amongst your people. And use us each day, Lord, that we might be lights to a world that is darkened with sin and many problems and afflictions that they face. Let us be that message of hope, Lord, to the people around us. Lord, we praise you. We love you and we worship you this day because you're so good to your people. And we adore thee and we ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.